Let's start from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's start from John chapter 8. We're also going to that 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is not part of our last series. Just want to wrap up many things we have been saying and bring some relevance to them all together. Now, read from verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him. And what did he say to them? He said, if you continue my word, then are you truly my disciples? That is, truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Of course, let me just complete that section and then go away. I want to just have verse 32. He said, then they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. I have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And I said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, anyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. And all that he went ahead and explained some things. But like I said to you, my emphasis is that verse 32, which is something that we know very well. He said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, please bear that in mind. Okay, now go back to that 2 Timothy chapter 3 that we read, I referred to. Let's just quickly read it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, I need just about one verse here, but because that area is very rich, I'll probably read a few more beyond the one that I need. Now, he said from verse 14, you, however, that is, let's just start from verse, okay, let me back up a bit. From verse 10, he said, now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings. Such has happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. He said, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Let me read that verse 12 again. He said, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, basically because they will not be persecuted. They will have a free reign, deceiving and being deceived. Now, despite the persecution, despite the fact that the evil people will have a free reign and they will grow from bad to worse, despite all the challenges you may have, he said, you, however, anytime you see the word however, he's trying to bring out an issue. He said, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings or the holy scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He said, these scriptures, this is the way they are, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate. Now, please notice this. That the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Now, I'm trying to bring out some things together here. I have one thing actually in my mind that I'm trying to pass across to Christians, especially based on the many things that we have said over the years. The first scripture we read from that portion in which the Lord Jesus told us, that one we all know very well, say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I was not saying that we have discussed many things. Yes, there's one thing I just want to pass across, especially in the light of the things that we have discussed over the last, of course, many times I've been preaching here, talking about the work of Christ's deliverance that is in Christ Jesus. I want to emphasize something, and that's the fact that there's a level of truth. I talked about truth and life some time ago. I think I brought a bit of that out, but I want to bring an issue about it again today. Now, truth is not just about what that is. When we talk about the knowledge of truth, it's beyond the matter of I've heard it before. You know, actually, something happened some time ago. I can't remember what exactly, but it made me think about what really this knowledge of truth is. And let me quickly say it like this. You read my book, Choices, Key to Destiny. And I explain something, that the choices you make in life, they are actually the things that determine what your life will be. Please follow me very closely. And I said something last Saturday, that whatever you are doing in life, at that particular point in time, God is using that to qualify you for the next level. It was on Tuesday that I said it. That God is using that to qualify you for the next level. You may be in a place you are working. You may be in school, you are learning. You may be maybe serving somewhere. Whatever it is that you are doing, it is not how you plotted your life that's deciding what your life will be. No, it is how God plotted it. That's just the way it is. And when God puts it in a place, it is from that place is deciding whether you will get into the next place that he planned for your life. Let me say this to you again. God actually arranges the life of the believer. You know, there was something that Jesus Christ said the other time. I was thinking about it the other time, and then I was praying this morning. Sometimes things come to my mind. I just turn them to a prayer, all right? Let me just tell you what made me pray. Two of my little children said they went to go out to go and buy a recharge card. So after a while, my wife was very reluctant to let them go. But then, as I leave them, they cannot keep on staying in the house. At their age, we were walking along the road, go and buy a recharge card. All right? Then after a while, I heard them shouting, and the dog was barking. So of course, I ran downstairs to go and check what was going on. The summary of it was that where they went to buy a recharge card, maybe because they opened the gate for them or something, I don't know, a dog came out of the house and ran away. So then they were now pursuing the dog. And then the dog to come back. Of course, a parent's instinct is to think that the dog is pursuing them. You understand? But the dog that was barking actually was not that particular dog. But that made me think again that, okay, what if it was a big dog? And these are two children, 1 7, 1 8. All right? What would they do against a big dog? No, it was just going through my mind. I was thinking about it. And the scripture came to my mind that Jesus said, they have an angel, each one of them. I don't know whether you got that. That scripture came to my mind that each one has an angel. Don't worry about it. That thing just came to my mind. And this is not a joke. The angel actually ensures that that wicked dog cannot pursue them. That's the reality. So because I was just thinking, as a parent or as an adult, many things cross your mind. So that just dawned on me that, in that case, their lives are not accidents anyway. I don't know what I get my point. I'm not saying they should live carelessly, but this one in which you now say, don't go anywhere again, lest the dog pursues you. Wait. If you have to go out, all right, if it is reasonable to go out, it's part of your training, you are growing, then I shouldn't be too worried. I shouldn't be worried because the Bible makes it clear that each one has an angel. That is, the two of them going, I'm sure there are two angels at least able to tackle any dog. Are you getting my point? I remember when I was a child, this is just off, I don't know whether that's part of a message or not, but something happened to me when I was a little child. I went to go and visit me and my two younger ones, and we're all very small. We were really small. I don't think I was up to 10, no. I don't think I was up to 10. Just went down the street to go to my friend's house, and we got there. I had two younger sisters with me. I was not up to 10. Got to the house. The house was locked. But they had dogs in front of the house. So I went to go past the dogs and go and knock anyway. I didn't see any person, no adult, nothing. After a while, you are crying. So the dogs were looking at us. Like, what are these people looking for? And there were two or three of them. I started growling. At that point, I decided it was not wise. But the dog didn't understand anything beyond that. This guy is an intruder, and he came after us. Was rushing. Now, one of my sisters went one direction. Now, I'm going somewhere. As young as I was, my fear was for my younger ones. I wasn't up to 10. There's a reason why I know I was not up to 10. There's a reason why I know. So what I did was that I just looked out for the two of them. I saw only one run, and the dogs went after that one. You know the way dogs behave. So they went after that one. So I ran after her. I managed to get to her before the dogs. Stood in front of her. I happened to have a metal rod in my hand. I stood there. I couldn't run anymore. I raised the rod. Say, come near. That was the first time in my life I saw I need dog's heartbreak. They held the brake. They screeched. You know that kind of thing. Screeched, turned around, and disappeared. Now, I just remember the story because I don't think it was human wisdom. I believe it was the angel of God that, you know, operated that deliverance. But the way it manifested, I told you before about what I call the simplicity of divine intervention. Things that look simple, they're actually orchestrated by angels. They're actually the power of God happening in your life. You think they're just simple and everyday things. Now, why I went into all of that, maybe to bless somebody, but the point is that I wanted you to know that your lives and your life, individual now, your life as a Christian is not an accident. Where you are today, where you are going tomorrow, is being planned. God actually sends angels out, listen to this, to go and arrange things for you. What you need as a believer is to cooperate. And this how you don't just cooperate because it's not human, let me put it like that, to cooperate. It's an effort to make, not in whispering to angels or knowing about our destinies directly. It is simply by learning the word of God, which Paul was writing to Timothy here. He said is profitable for teaching, for correction, for reproof, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, is adequate, equipped for every good work. That is, essentially, King James will tell you, made ready. That is, the good work is not there, he's just ready for it. But how do we learn to cooperate our sin? It's simply because of training in the word of God. Please follow that. Very, very important. A Christian's life is planned. God determines where you will get to. Later on, we'll begin to look at the life of Joseph. And I was thinking about, you know, some time ago, I said, we'll start studying the lives of these great men of God. Let us speak the lessons from their lives that God wants us to learn. And the other day, I was just listening to the story of Joseph again. And a number of points just struck me again. I realized simply that Joseph, many bad things happened in his life. Like he went to go and see your brothers. They decided to beat you and throw you into a pit. They were not trying to throw him into a pit. They wanted to kill him. It was Reuben that felt, he told them that having blood on your hands wouldn't be nice. So let him die in the pit. So they threw him in there hoping that the snake would bite him. Or worst case, he would starve to death. He was hoping to come and remove him and go and return him to his father. By the time he came out, now listen to this, the plan of deliverance that Reuben had did not work. So they sold him to Egypt. You know the rest of the story. Now, but the Bible says clearly that God sent him ahead of them. Now, his being sold into slavery into Egypt was a bad thing. But the interesting thing is that it was divinely orchestrated. Some angels arrived one day and said, today we have been asked to escort Joseph to Egypt. How will he get to Egypt? We'll discuss those things later. All right? I mean, those guys thought they were bad. They were doing their own desires. They were not. Their own character was in operation. Each man is judged according to his intentions, not according to the result of his work. It is according to what he had in his heart. So they were bad people. We don't have any doubt about that. But in the midst of their badness, Joseph was being carried by angels to Egypt. You know what happened to him in the house of Potiphar? Now let me say this to you. I said that I've taught it before. That it took, why didn't God send him a day ahead before they would follow him? Because it wouldn't work. What I mean by wouldn't work? The boy had to be trained to be a prime minister. He had to be trained to take care of his father and the whole extended family. You know what I'm trying to explain there? All their children. Each one of those sons of Jacob, they were a community in themselves. If you read the story very well, they were big enough to raise small armies individually. The point I'm just bringing from it is that every step of his life was arranged by angels. Not just anybody would buy him as a slave. It had to be Potiphar. Potiphar had to see him. An angel persuaded him that this boy would be good. And after a while, he realized the boy was good. When the time was up, they arranged it again, threw him into prison. The most interesting part, we'll discuss it later, is the fact that the man he helped forgot him. Despite his negotiations, what God was saying simply is that you will not get out of here a day earlier than I proposed. That's when I realized the ability to remember is a gift of God. One angel stretched his hand into the man's head, collected the memory of Joseph, put it in his pocket, and said, you will need that later. not now. That man was not a bad man. All that happened was that God said, right now, you will not remember Joseph. At the appropriate time, when it was now time to bring Joseph out, the angel took the thing from where he kept it, opened the man's head again, threw it back inside and covered. The man said, suddenly, sir, my Lord, I remember something. He said, may God have mercy on me. How could I have forgotten this young boy? What happened? They told the story. He remembered him at the appropriate time. Please, I hope you have known what I'm saying. I started by saying this, I was going to explain something, that every part of your life as a Christian, God has sent his angels out to go and arrange them. The simple thing is, are you going to cooperate? How do we cooperate? It is simple. God teaches us to do righteously. You know, I thought about it. When Joshua, all right, was going to fight Jericho, God also sent angels to go and help him fight Jericho. And those angels are interesting people. They don't have emotions. I'm not saying they don't have at all. But when they are dealing, they don't care. You can be dying like this, it doesn't make them cry. They do what they are supposed to do. What I mean is that Joshua met that fellow. That fellow was not on the side of Israel, on the side of anybody. He's just a warrior. So Joshua asked him simply, are you on our side or on the other people's side or against us? You know what he said? None. None. I mean, I'm not on anybody's side. If you guys annoy me, I turn against you. I don't know that you're getting what I'm saying. There's no emotional attachment. But they've been sent to war. I'm bringing an issue. This is the reason why I mentioned that. It is now Joshua's problem to decide whether he will cooperate with that angel or not. That's the point I'm making. That's why the angel said, I'm not on anybody's side. I'm the captain of the host of the Lord. If you join our group, if you do, and this is how you join our group, do exactly how you have been commanded. When that word came concerning how to march around Jericho, that word came because the angels were only going to respond to that kind of operation. If you don't march like that, the angels won't work with you. They don't hate Jericho. They don't love you. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. They obey the voice of his word. It is your duty to cooperate with them. It is your duty. I like one thing. Ozzy T.J. has said it. That when God sent Abraham to go and sacrifice Isaac, he had better go to the correct mountain. That you had better go to the correct mountain. That's where the ram is. Because the angel of the Lord spoke to him, don't harm that boy. That was where the angel of the Lord was waiting. If they say, go to this mountain, he said that it's too far. I'm going to this other one. You will kill Isaac for nothing. There will be no ram, and there will be no angelic intervention waiting. That is, the angels depend on your obedience. And that is why, now please follow me. That is why Paul said it like this to Timothy. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Now, let me just add my own words to it. So that the man of God may be ready to cooperate with the angels of God. That is, what they operate by is whether you are in agreement with the will of God or you are not. Nothing personal. They are not there to come and ensure that you fit into the will of God. That's your personal problem. They are there to ensure that you fit into the plan of God. There's a difference. There's a difference. All right? There's a difference. They are there to ensure you fit into the plan of God if your heart is united with the will of God. You know, there's a difference in these two things. Now, the plan of God being that outward walking, the step-by-step things that God had planned for your life. The will of God is a spiritual thing. Whether you really have committed your life totally to God, whether your mindset is united with God's mind. That's what I mean by, you know, the will of God. But the step-by-step plan of God, they are there arranging it. They arrange finances. Did you hear what I said? They arrange wives, though. I'm telling you the truth. They will tell that girl, you can't travel today. Somebody is coming to meet you. Like I always say, my wife was there, and I said, listen, the truth is that an angel told her one day, go and greet that man of God. So she didn't want to agree to go and greet her. Why should I go and talk to him? He said, the angel just spoke one tongue. He said, can you decode that? He said, no, I can't. Then go and ask him. He knows the decode, you know. So and how did that manifest? She had a question she wanted to ask. So I've been telling her for the last 13 years that an angel, 14 years now, because we met before we got married, all right? I said, an angel introduced you to me. I saw him, in quote. Not physically. Yo. I hope you get that it was a joke. I didn't see anything. No, you know, if you don't clarify it now, some people will now come and say, I met the lady, but I asked her, where's the angel that brought you? She did not. Now, but the truth is, I've been telling my mother for a very long time, I've said, an angel took her and said, come, go and talk to that man. And then, after she finished speaking, another one whispered and said, well, so what do you think? Arise, kill and eat. You are getting my point? Yes, they arrange things. They arrange jobs. Listen, as a Christian, you see, you'll see what I'm saying in a moment. These are the mindsets we must have. They arrange contracts for a businessman. Yes, they do. They'll tell a man, you can't do this job. God said we should give it to the other fellow. He's coming. Try, you know, those guys are not nice. I've told you before. Try what you can. All right? If they put their foot down that this man is not getting this job, is that man that's getting it, there's nothing you want to do. They only operate by the commandment of God. And once the word of God has gone forth, you can't turn it around. Understand that? These are mindsets we must have as Christians. Your life is planned. It's planned. It's planned. What you need to do, which one I'm talking about, the first scripture I read was about truth. All right? That was first I read about truth, that we shall know the truth, and the truth, all right, will set us free. That was the first one I read. Because, you see, we must know these things, because if you know them, the way you approach life is different. You will understand now that they say, hey, don't apply for a job in that place. Nobody will give it to you. Who do you know? You won't say that after today. Because you now know that angels go in there, they arrange what is yours. So tell the person simply, it's only if it's not mine, that's when I won't get it. If it's mine, I will get it. If it is mine, I will get it. Let me say the truth. Listen, if it requires the replacement of the chief executive of a state, if it requires it, they can arrange it. It's simple. That can be arranged. They said, this cannot be done unless the governor agrees. They said, is this governor going to agree? From heaven they hear, no. Say, Lord, so what do you say? They change the governor. That's it. They just move. 2 weeks later, one governor is being investigated for something. At the end of the day, they impeach him, put a new guy in there. You want to stay here, better agree. And that one doesn't know what's going on. They do such things. They change ministers. They change laws. Why? Because they are the, I don't know whether I can use the word physical, but they are the power of God walking on the earth. That's their job. They hearken to the voice of his word. The Bible said they are mighty in strength. You know, I told this story once. I heard from Tunde Bakare. He went to church. The pastor was asking for money to do something. He said he got tired of every time. So he said, look, he went and met the pastor. That's Pastor E. Adeboye, all right? Then, of course, this was many, many years ago. The story is more than 20-something years ago. And so he went to the man and said, sir, pray for me that God will bless me. And you will never have to make this kind of announcement again. So the man prayed for him. The following week, they sacked him from where he was working. And he said simply, I just want to summarize the story. The man of God said to him simply that the kind of money you are asking God for, they don't pay such things as salaries. It was a lawyer, young lawyer. So he told him simply, why don't you go and start your own business, that is your own chambers? And he told the man of God that you don't seem to understand. In the country, there was a law that time that did not allow people of his experience, all right, own their own chambers. I forgot what the man said, that look, that's all I have to tell you, you can go. The following week or so, he was watching TV. and he heard the Supreme Military Council, AFRC, whichever one was in power at that time, announced that that law had been abrogated. That's what they used to use those days. It was a decree. They took the decree and scrapped the decree. The first job he got, they paid him the equivalent of 2 years' salary from where he was working before. I am convinced, I am persuaded, that they went to the Supreme Military Council meeting, the angels, and said, the Lord wants to bless somebody. The Lord wants to prosper somebody. This law is not in keeping with the prosperity that God wants to pour into that fellow's life. So you guys, remove it. And when they are operating, you don't know. Go and read Frank Peretti. I like Frank Peretti. This present darkness and piercing this the darkness. When you read those two books, I like them because you see how angels... Well, now, it's really real. There was one interesting part of it I really enjoyed. He didn't want somebody to move, so he sank his sword into the engine. That fellow tried the car. The car would not start. I read the story of one woman. Hey, I can't remember the whole story now. All right? The woman, I think she was broke or something. She had to drive in the U.S. a very long distance. Suddenly, you know, she was crying and praying to God in her car. Then the car stopped in a particular place. She tried to start, it didn't start. Then one man just came out, hey, what is going on? All right? Oh, she didn't have enough fuel and none of that. So the man filled the tank, took her into the shop nearby, bought her a lot of things to help her, and I think her two children inside the vehicle. Afterwards, she turned around to greet the man had gone. And he said she just knew what would happen. She tried, she knew, she was so sure what would happen. She tried the engine, the car went off one hand. A car that they virtually had to push to that particular place. That's what, in fact, the story was about that you should send your story if you have met an angel. He said that day she met an angel. Listen, I don't know why I'm talking about angels now, but I want you to know that your life is planned. Amen. And the message today, it was another message, but it has changed now, you see. It's not my fault. I'm a minister of God, amen? The point I was making now is that we must learn to cooperate. And we don't learn to cooperate by coming and say, hey, this morning I'm going to cooperate. Any angel there? Who knock? Nobody knocks. Okay, an angel has entered. So what plans do you guys have? Where should I go? Should I say yes? You know that? No, it is simply by learning the truth. Are you getting my point? And cultivating a life of obedience to the truth. I said something earlier. They are dispassionate about the things they are doing. Let me put it like this. It doesn't concern them. Those guys will go, they will be around Jericho, circle Jericho, be waiting to push the walls of Jericho down. But if Joshua, all right, did not do what he was told, if he did not lead the armies of Israel around Jericho every day for 7 days, on the seventh day, seven times, and raise his voice in shouting, those angels would have done nothing. So when that fellow asked him, whose side are you on? That when Joshua asked him, he said, I'm not anybody's side. If you obey God, I'm on your side. If you obey God, I'm on your side. They've given you, I'm adding words now. They've given you instructions on what to do. Make sure you do exactly as you have been told. If you do that, you will fall in line with what we are doing in the realm of the spirit. When both of us agree, that force, like I talk about resonance, everything will come together and the walls will go down. But if you think we're just going to go around, sing the walls for you, and then you now get up and say, ah, Joshua, see you, no wall again. No. Guys, everybody, get ready, let's go and fight. Say it won't work. That is, how will the activities of those angels benefit Israel at that time? It's simple. Joshua, do exactly as you are told. Let me say it again. I said it somewhere. Life is planned. Where you will be next, God is determining it now. He placed you in a place and is getting you ready for where you will be next. The interesting part is this. Most of the times, you have no idea. In real Christianity, you have no idea. You think you know. It's good for you to plan. After your service, I'm going to do like this. After my MSc, is what I plan to do. It's good. You know, it's good to have. The Bible says that it keeps you occupied. God likes people being occupied. right? It keeps you occupied with gladness in your heart. God does that. He doesn't want you to be idle, just moving around and say, well, what's happening? I don't know. I just don't know. What's happening? No. Make your plans. Amen? Keep busy. Make sure the plans are not too long. Just have, you know, what I call daily plans. Daily doesn't mean 24 hours. Now, each season of your life, is a day. Each season of your life is a day. What did I say? Is a day. That is, for example, now, if you enter into a high institution, now you're going to be there for 4 years. That's a day. The 4 years is one day. It's not 2 days. It's not 365 days multiplied by four. It's one day. Are you getting my point? You go for youth service, that's one day. That is, each season is taken as one day. Normally, it starts at the low moment, usually the evening and then the morning. As it's becoming brightest, it suddenly comes to an end. No, that's the way it works. No, you are doing ministry, everything is going deep. When the thing is suddenly so beautiful, man, I like this ministry. God says, okay, good. Now let's go to the next phase. It's always an evening, a morning, then one day. Each season of your life is one day. It's the time you enjoy the school the most, you have to graduate. When you come as a year one student, you are looking lost. When you are settled, you know everywhere, you know everybody, you have been SUG president, time to graduate. That's the way it works, all right? So each season of your life is a day. Each day of your life must be occupied. You must occupy it fully. It must be filled completely. Each season of your life is one day. So it's good to make your plans. It's good to enjoy it, all right? What I'm trying to explain to you is this. The next day is determined by God. You can make plans of what you want to do after now, but believe me, most of the times, it doesn't go that way. And one of the things you must learn as a Christian in life is to understand when you are being steered by God in another direction. Very important. Don't follow the way everybody has arranged it. You studied accounting, so you go, you finish school, you become a chartered accountant, and then you go and queue up for a job. And then after that, they'll promote you. Maybe one day you now become, what do they become after you've been an accountant for a very long time? Accountant general, whatever it is. Sometimes it doesn't work like that for you. Are you getting my point? Yes, sometimes it doesn't work like that. God steers you in another direction. And I think it's very important for Christians to recognize when the angels of God are planning things differently from what you used to think. The only thing you can be sure of, all right, let me just drop that, as a believer, is you always learn to do what is right. How do I know whether this is the will of God or this is not the will of God? Check the door into both of them. What God does is that He makes sure one door is very clean, open in righteousness. The other one is not. It defiles the few things that you don't want to do in your life. It defiles the few things that you don't believe is the right way by which God operates. And let me get back to something I was trying to explain, all right? So please bear that in mind. Your life is planned. What you are doing is that you are cooperating with the plan that God has for you. Now, Paul says something there. Go back to that 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16, we read that all scripture is profitable, all right? It's inspired by God. And we use those things to train ourselves. So as the word of God is coming forth, what it's doing is that it's changing our hearts, it's changing our attitudes. Now, if you go back up to around verse 10, he said, now you followed my teaching. Paul was speaking to Timothy. You followed my conduct, followed my purpose, my faith, patience, love, and perseverance. At the same time, you observed my persecutions and sufferings, as happened to me in many of these places. And from all of them, the Lord delivered me. That's verse 11. He said, indeed, all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Those who do not desire to live godly lives, that's verse 13, they will not be persecuted, and they will go from bad to worse, and they will be deceiving people. He said, however, verse 14, you continue in the things you have learned and have become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now, please, let me just tell you why I read this. I said earlier that you shall know the truth, Jesus Christ said, when we read that John chapter 8, and that truth that you have known, all right, will set you free. It will make you free. Now, let me say something to you. When everybody believes something, and if it is, whether it's true or not, most of the time it's not true anyway. When everybody believes something, and you agree with them, and you are doing what they are all doing, then you will not be persecuted. That's what Paul was saying. Are you getting that point? That you will not be persecuted. The reason why Paul was persecuted, you notice something he said there. Number one, you followed, that is, you observed. You were with me. You observed my teaching. My conduct, that's the product of my teaching. The first thing he said is my teaching. The instruction of the word of God that I was given, which was first of all in my heart. Now, because of that, my conduct was in line with that teaching. You see my purpose, my faith, all those fruits of the Spirit. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. Because of the difference in the doctrines in my heart, which affected everything else I was doing, that was what led to persecutions. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. I hope you're following what I'm saying. That is, your problems begin when you start disagreeing with everybody. Your problems begin when you start disagreeing with your parents. Your problems, what the Bible calls persecution, it begins when you start disagreeing with people around you. But your disagreement is not because you're a contentious human being, but because of a kind of teaching that you have received. Please, try and follow me. I'm trying to build up something. That the disagreements come not because you are being contentious, but because of the kind of teaching that you have received. And Paul now said to Timothy, he said, despite the persecutions, he said, you've observed it. These things produce persecutions, all right? He said, you, however, despite the fact that you'll be persecuted for that word's sake, and those who will not disagree with the common opinion, do you follow? They will not be persecuted. He said, you, however, verse 14, continue in that teaching. Continue in the things you have learned and have become convinced of. That is, even though they will beget for you tribulations. Do you understand my point? Even though your father will say, this one, I will never give my consent to that marriage. Are you getting my point? Sometimes this is where Christians miss it. This is actually where I'm going. They start negotiating. And in the process of negotiation, they depart from the things they have learned and have become convinced of. Please, let me pause for a moment. Let that sink into your hearts. For example, I've had people tell me that my father said, I can marry anybody from anywhere, but if they are from this part of the country, I'm sorry. I will not come for that wedding. Now, you're under authority, amen? You can't just go and use a goju, marry, and run away from home. You can't do that. If you do that, I won't follow you. He said, Pastor Bank, you know, I agree with everything you are saying. I didn't say that one. Are you getting my point? I didn't say that one. But this is the interesting part. Some fathers are so tough, they're not going to budge. Easily, let me just put it like that. I'm not trying to scare somebody. Now, whether it's a man or a woman that's been persecuted thus, now listen to me. Now, what a lot of people do is that, now, before I say what a lot of people do, if the only reason, listen to me carefully, I'm going to give it to you direct.